How many are glad to be alive in Jesus? If you're here this morning and you've not given your life to Jesus, when your journey's over, do you know where you're going? If you don't, you can know for certain. It's by surrendering your life to Jesus, who loves you so much. He loved you so much, He went to the cross. He took your sins and mine. He died a brutal death as the penalty, the price for my sin and yours. They buried Him, but He rose again. He ascended to the Father, and the Bible tells us He ever lives to make intercession for, to pray for His saints. Jesus is praying for you right now. He loves you so much. To bow your heads, please. The Lord has spoken to you already today, and you've not given your life to Jesus. I'd like to let you know that He wants you to come to Him right now. I want you to pray this prayer with me this morning. You can all join in. Lord Jesus, I come to You now. I recognize I'm a sinner. I've turned away from You, and I ask You to forgive me. Now, Jesus, I come home to You. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. I surrender to You. Take over, Lord. I turn away from sin. Please forgive me. Now, by faith, I receive Your forgiveness. I receive You. And I receive my new life. In Jesus' name. And they all said,
Amen.
When my journey's over, I'm going home. Home in the presence of the Lord. Home in His love. This morning I want to talk about the Feast of Tabernacles. I have several weeks. I don't know if I'll get all the way through the morning's message, because we have some things to do this morning that are important to us, but the Word of God is the most important thing as we've celebrated Him in His presence. But the Feast of Tabernacles, it's an event that's coming on the Jewish calendar, and some people think, well, what am I talking about the Jewish calendar for? A lot of men and women set holy days and holidays, but God set these. A lot of times, these are used as legalistic clubs. Not one of them is to be that way. The feasts, as we study them, are all to show us Jesus. To show us Jesus, who captures our hearts and our lives, the One to whom we surrender. There's something to talk to us about this morning. Let me ask you a question, and I want you to turn to each other and ask the same question. What do you see? Turn to each other and ask you that question. Ask that question. What do you see? What do you see? Jesus came to open eyes. What do you see? How many prongs are there? How many? Just keep looking. It changes, doesn't it? Now, how about this one? What do you see? An elderly lady? How many see an elderly lady? How many see a young lady? How many look long enough and all of a sudden you can see an older lady? You see that? Look long enough and she becomes an older lady. What do you see? What do you see? What do you see? How many see two men? How many see a lampstand? A chalice, yeah. How many see both? Let's try another one. How many see, what do you see? A guy playing the saxophone. How many see a guy playing the saxophone? He's blowing, okay, blowing his shofar. Who else sees something else? What else do you see, Pat? I got to confess, I hadn't seen the chicken. Okay. Actually, I see a lady back there. Yeah, I see a lady. Those are her two eyes. There's one eye over there and another eye and the mouth. Do you see that now? I mean, see that, you know. And in closing, we all need to keep from being chickens. Let's talk about the feast. Now, when God worked with Israel, you guys, he did so on a divine calendar. And he did so agriculturally. Their calendar was based on an agricultural year. I want to emphasize again over the next few weeks, even as we talk about this, a lot of people use the Feast of the Lord to beat Christians up with legalism. You're not on the right calendar. You need to be on God's calendar. You're going to miss God. You're going to miss him if you're not on God's calendar. I do not believe that's the heart of the Lord regarding any study of the feasts. Regardless of your understanding, if it's too complex, we need the simple gospel. Jesus died, was buried, rose again, and has redeemed us by his grace and mercy. How many can say thank God? So the feast, the study of this is all about seeing the Lord. Jesus calls us to himself and wants to open our eyes to see him. Unlocking the feasts is all about seeing how much God wants to be with us. Come on, I say it again. Unlocking the feasts is seeing how much God wants to be with us. And you stop and go, me? Yes, you. You and me. He wants to be with us. His very name is, one of them is what? Emmanuel. God with us. Three times a year. And you could be beaten up as a Jewish person with this. Three times a year, you got to come up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord for the feast. Three times a year, all through their history. But you know what it was all about? God was calling his people to himself because he wanted to party with them. He wanted a party. He wanted a festival. He wanted a feast. He wanted a celebration where they'd take time, set it aside, and come meet with God. Guess what Sunday morning church is? A party with God. A party with God and with one another. Where we remember him, think of him, love him, adore him, sing to him, rejoice in him. Hopefully have a good time together, punch each other in the arm and say, a good time is had by all. That's the heart of even why we go to church. You can take it and use it as a club for legalism, or you can look at each other. I believe the psalm was written this way. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to God's house. Remember the psalm? We sing it. Sometimes you'll say, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. No, that song is all about, I was glad when they said, Kate, hey, come on, it's time to go to church. Elaine, dress in your best country outfit. Come on, let's go say yee-haw. Let's go to church. I was glad when they said to me. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles is specifically what we're going to talk about. But the Feast of Tabernacles, to put it in the easiest terms to understand, was the end of the year wrap-up. The agricultural produce had all come in. The wheat, the barley harvest had happened earlier in the year. The wheat harvest had occurred. Now the vegetables, the fruits, the most luscious fruits you've ever seen in the world are in Israel. They all come in, and it's a specific fulfillment wrapping up the year. How many were ever in drama or did plays in school? Anybody? All right. At the end of the play, after the show is over, the week's performances are done, or however long, what do they have at the end? A what? A wrap party. Wrap it all up. And God, at some point, is getting ready to wrap it all up. And he's going to have the best wrap party you could ever think of. You know, we think of the marriage supper of the Lamb. We think of that celebration, going home. What's it going to be like to be in the presence of God? What is all this about? And God's saying, look, I want you to celebrate and have a wrap party with me. but there are some things to learn along the way that teach us something. So let's talk about the feast. Leviticus chapter 23, verses 2 through 4. Leviticus 23, 2 through 4. The feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. These are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. Now, I'm not just going to keep us in the Old Testament perspective. I want to give you a new understanding, a heart of what is all this about. And we've taught on these. We taught on the feasts of the Lord. Some of this will be similar to what you've heard before. The word convocation in the Hebrew is mikra. Can you say that with me? Mikra. And it means literally dress rehearsals. The feasts of the Lord were designed by God to be dress rehearsals for what he wants to do in fulfillment. Well, if the dress rehearsal is great, how many are looking forward to the real thing? The dress rehearsal, the public meetings, the mikra. And then you come to the phrase, it's a, which you proclaim at their appointed times. That Hebrew is moed. Can you say that with me? Moed. And it means signs, seasons, appointed times. Why look at the feasts? Because they are signs, seasons, appointed times for dress rehearsals as they did them for thousands of years, because God's trying to call them to himself and show them something about himself through all of these events they did for thousands of years. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16. If you're taking notes, Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. Why are we looking at the feast? To see Jesus. And what does he want to do? 3 times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place in which he chooses. At the feast of unleavened bread, the feast of weeks, the feast of tabernacles, they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. How many of you know Jesus went to Jerusalem to celebrate the feasts? He was there at the Passover. Remember, they said, will he show up at the appointed? Will he show up at the feast? He was there at the Feast of Tabernacles. Israel was to come with love and thanksgiving and their offerings to God for all that he'd provided for them. And what do? When we come to church, we come when we give our love, we give our thanks, we give our tangible offerings. The offering boxes are there and in the back. We come and give of our substance, but first and foremost, we give him of our heart and our love and our thanksgiving. Anybody thankful to be alive this morning? Yes. You thankful to be breathing another breath? Are you thankful Kevin's getting louder? So you know, no, not really. Anyway, so we're thankful we're alive. We're thankful that we've got grace. We're thankful that he's been merciful. We get to return it. Come on, I'm glad to go to the house of God. I've got so much to thank him for. What did he do for you this week? Well, he kept us safe in our car over 2,000 miles, and I got so much to be thankful for. Yes, sir. Wow. I bet if we took all day long, there wouldn't be enough time to give thanksgiving testimonies from everybody in this room, if you stop and think about it. By the way, I'm thankful for Keith back there. His birthday was last Sunday. Keith, yeah, buddy. Got to get that one on the calendar. We won't miss that one again. Happy birthday, our friend. Good to have you here. All right, so Israel was to come and bring those kinds of thank offerings like we do. Now, I want you to see that there are some biblical holidays. Don't get lost in this, but you can see it break down into spring holidays and fall holidays. You see, the Passover begins there. Who fulfilled Passover? We'll talk about this. Unleavened bread, the first fruits, death, burial, and resurrection, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost. And then you come to the fall holidays, the end of the year, trumpets, Day of Atonement, and tabernacles. Wow. 3 harvests, spring, summer, fall. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, tabernacles. You see down below Christ's first coming, the church age, giving time for all the harvests to come in, and then Christ's second coming. How many want Jesus to come back? Yeah. How many want to bring as many people to Jesus as you can before then? Spring harvests. Now, I want to talk about these a little bit. The feast, we begin with Passover. And they had a lamb, perfect lamb, that was inspected, just like Jesus went through trials and testimonies and was inspected. It was called the Paschal Lamb. The blood then was taken from the lamb slain and put on the doorposts. Jesus died as our Paschal Lamb. And we are covered by His blood. So the death angel due for our sins does what? Passes over. Then we have the feast of unleavened bread followed right up. And they, what did they do? They went through their houses, got rid of all leaven, which is a type in the Bible for sin and pride. They got rid of all that stuff being set apart and sanctified. Their houses were clean and they were sanctified for the Lord. And Jesus then represented is Jesus is buried, sin put away. We surrender fully to the Lord. Have you done that this morning? Surrender fully to Him? Then you have the Feast of First Fruits. Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. They would take the barley sheaf and they would wave it before the Lord. Jesus rises again as the first fruits of resurrection. How many thank God you're going to be resurrected? No matter what happens, if your life is taken from you here physically, it'll never be taken from you when you've given your life to Jesus Christ. Can you say, thank God? I've got some loved ones I'm looking forward to seeing on the other side. And we will live forever in eternity giving Him praise, thanksgiving, and worship. We have so much to be grateful for. Hallelujah. Then we come to Pentecost. And Pentecost, 50 days after Passover. There's nothing to be afraid in that word. Somebody, oh, those are those wild people. Penta, in Hebrew, penta simply means 50. 50 days after Pentecost, it marked this event. The first Pentecost was when Moses met in the mount with God. And he received the laws. If you remember, the first time in the mount was where Moses got the laws, the principles, the tabernacle drawings, all of the things. And Israel was fashioned really as a nation when Moses met with God in the mount. What happened with the New Testament church? Moses came down from the mount carrying two tablets. Just had to give you something to laugh about here this morning. The day was fulfilled at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit is poured out on the church in Acts chapter 2. In the mount, Israel's born as a nation. The day of Pentecost, the church is born in the Spirit. How many got saved that day when Peter stood up and preached? 3,000. The church was birthed. So the dress rehearsal was fulfilled. All that they'd been doing all those years, all of a sudden, right in front of their eyes, had a fulfillment. As the Spirit of God was poured out and the church was birthed. Now in the seventh month comes Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles. You don't have to get lost in this, but watch. Look at the time frames this year. Like next weekend is representing Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. Powerful time of new beginnings in their nation. Then you have Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, October 12th. This year. Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles, October 17 and 18, the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, some people, let me just talk about this for a minute. There was a natural and a spiritual fulfillment of all of the first four. There's been natural feasts celebrated and never fully a spiritual fulfillment. There are some, and remember, I'm not here to hang my hat on a calendar. I don't care. Some people may say Jesus is coming back tomorrow. That's fine. I don't think so. But it's getting closer. It's closer now than it was when you came to church this morning.
That's right.
It's closer now than it's been. It's more important than ever to be ready for the Lord. It's important. I said it's important to be ready for what the Lord is going to do.
Amen.
There are people who believe God is going to do something supernatural in His return around the feasts that have not yet been fulfilled. Now, lest that sound silly, remember, we're Gentiles looking through Gentile eyes. But when you look through what God did in history, God fulfilled spiritually on the very day the other feasts. On the day of Passover, Jesus was slain. On the day of Pentecost, the church received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. How many of you think God doesn't do anything by accident? And on the days of His events, something will happen and transpire. Now, is it going to happen this year? Next year? Is it going to happen? Jesus can come back any moment. He's not bound to any calendar. I'm just saying that it's wise for us to keep an eye open to what He's doing. He's the one who called these calendars. Listen, I can't tell you enough, when you go to the Scripture and study it, these are God's feast days. He said, these are my holidays. These are my feasts. I want you to celebrate this. And we know the reason was to party with His people. And we all lose sight of that sometimes. So, let's go on. Rosh Hashanah is the Feast of Trumpets. And that is a time where the calling of God comes, the shofar, the trumpets blast, and it's all about getting the people ready, because there's what's called 10 days of awe. 10 days of awe, where before a high and holy God, you come to a place of repentance, you deal with any known sin, you deal with relationship issues, you get things right, because what's coming is called Yom Kippur, and that is the Day of Atonement. So what's coming is a meeting with God. Now, how many thank God Jesus already took any punishment you deserved? Jesus already had that meeting on your behalf. But that's what it's all about, that Day of Atonement, the 10 days of preparation. And if you're in sin against God, take care of it so you can see your God face to face. And the sins are wiped away. But remember, the Day of Atonement is the one day a year where the high priest could enter behind the veil in the most holy place to meet with God on behalf of Israel. There was another thing that happened, and it's pretty interesting. How many have ever heard of the two goats that were slain at the Feast of Tabernacles? The two goats. One was slain, hands laid on that goat for the sins to be transmuted or imparted to that goat. And then there was another goat called the scapegoat. Jesus was the goat slain who took our sins. Now the goat that's the scapegoat is sent out, actually led out into the wilderness. And you look into the Hebrew words for those, and it means an evil place, a horrible place. And literally, what would happen is they would give it into the hand of a non-Jewish person who would then guide that goat out, take it to a cliff, most commentaries agree, take it to a cliff in a rough, horrible, craggy place, push the goat over backwards, it would fall and be broken apart on the rocks below. All being a type or a picture of how God hates sin and separates sin from His people. And He judges Satan and every demonic horde and breaks him on the rock of Jesus Christ. How many are grateful for that? Are you with me? Are you tracking with me? You understand? All right. So that's the kind of thing that would take place. And then we have the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of ingathering. Something's coming. Anybody remember the musical West Side Story? Something's coming. Remember that? Remember the song? You can all sing it better than I do. How many know the song? Anybody know the song? Go ahead, Daria. Go. Go for it. All of a sudden, I don't know it. I'm a blank. Something's coming. Do, 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 do. Something's coming. Are you ready? Something's coming. Is your heart ready? I don't care about the Feast of Tabernacles outside of understanding. God had something He wants to teach us about being ready and being in His presence. Yes. I, for one, want to be ready. Don't you? Yes. So next week, we're going to carry on with the message. Because we're going to stop right there. The Feast of Tabernacles. A lot of things to teach us. But not a one of them that I'm going to say from this pulpit has to do with beating you over the head with a legalistic club that you better follow the Feast of Tabernacles, or you better make sure your buns are in church on Sunday. You should do that. But it's all about coming to Jesus and seeing Him. That means you're back next week, Royal. But we've come to see Him. We've come to love Him. We've come to celebrate Him. Because He is so worthy. Are you willing to take a journey on this feast with me in preparation for what He's going to do? Keep an eye to Him, an eye to the clock, an eye to getting ready for what He's going to do. Close your eyes and give thanks with me. Lord, we thank You that You're the God who does all things well. We believe You, Lord, that You've got great things in store, and we want our own hearts to be fully ready and fully prepared. Now we trust You for those things as we see what unfolds in the next couple of weeks. In Jesus' name, and they all said,
Amen.
Amen.